Hi there. Welcome back to another episode of Social Media Manager Confidential. I got to sit down and have a chat with Becca of Homemade Social. She started to work hands-on with lifestyle and e-commerce brands and to implement social media and email strategies to elevate their brand and grow their communities. Dubbed the modern social media queen by AZ Foothills, Becca is revolutionizing the digital marketing game and inspiring brands to use innovative tactics to grow their online presence. In her spare time, she is a loving dog mom of Jojo the Cattle Dog Mix. Why, yes, her dog has an Instagram, can be found at the farmer's market most Saturday mornings, and recently picked up piano lessons again. And Becca honestly changed my life after this conversation. She has so many good recommendations when it comes to apps to help with boundaries and burnout as a social media manager. And we get talking into those, and they're all linked in the show notes for you too. But I'm just going to let you just listen in because it's an amazing conversation.
Social media management is notorious for being high pressure, competitive, and changing literally every day. Which is why it isn't surprising that most social media managers get burned out within the first 2 years. So how do you keep going? How do you stay up with the latest updates, protect your mental health, and build a successful social media management business that supports your lifestyle goals? Whether that's working from home with your kiddos or jet-setting around the world, that's what this show is all about. Welcome to Social Media Manager Confidential. I'm Shantae Gorman, founder of a six-figure social media management agency and mentor to social media managers. And I'm here to dish on the ins and outs of the social media management world without any of the gatekeeping that can come along with it. You'll learn, you'll laugh, and you'll leave each episode inspired. Let's dive into today's episode.
Hey, everyone. Oh, my gosh. I'm here with Becca, and I'm so excited to have you. Hi, Becca. How are you?
Hi. Thanks so much for having me, Shantae.
Yay. I'm excited. Okay. So let's just dive in. What is Homemade Social? Like, what is the current business setup?
We just celebrated our fifth birthday this morning, actually yesterday morning. We are a digital marketing agency specializing in organic social. So all the cool girls, right?
We have
a team of 8, including myself, and then 4 interns as well. And we primarily help lifestyle brands in the e-commerce space, typically in food and bev, beauty, wellness. You know, there's some other brands here and there that aren't necessarily in those buckets to thrive on social.
I love that. Love it. You also do like ads and like email marketing and like all that too, right?
Yeah, we do content creation, TikTok ads, email marketing, influencer outreach, kind of anything that goes really well with social or is like complementary to social, we offer as well.
I think that's also one of the things that's important. Maybe moving into like 2024 is kind of expanding beyond just strictly social because a lot of clients need multiple things.
Wait, yes. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay, because I've noticed that like when I first started, I started as a freelancer technically before starting Homemade Social. And I feel like you used to be able to just offer organic social media services and be able to help drive a client's bottom line. But I don't think that's the case anymore.
I agree.
Like there's so many puzzle pieces and it's so competitive these days that like you have to have the correct email opt-in forms, email automations. You have to have the content, the engagement, the community building. Like there's just so many pieces these days that, and unfortunately, that makes it a much more higher priced service to offer to do it well. So I think clients need to be aware of that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just setting realistic expectations of like, okay, we're only doing social. So this is what social can do.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to do email marketing. If that's not in your budget, like that's something you're going to need to figure out, or, you know, your website needs to, you know, function better. Like just having that upfront conversation, I think helps a lot for the clients that do have lower budgets, you know, for the people who maybe only offer organic right now. Okay. So you kind of touched on this, but how did you get started in social media management?
Great question. So I've been working in social media management since 2012. What about you? Are you an OG too?
I am an OG. Oh gosh. When did I graduate? 2013.
Okay, yeah. Right around the same time. I mean, even in like high school, I was in high school 07 to 2011. I loved Facebook. And this was before Instagram, you know, was released. And in middle school, I loved MySpace. I was always custom coding my profile.
Oh my gosh, me too.
My theme. Yes. Like, I didn't know what I was doing at the time, but I would use like clickbait strategies all the time.
Really?
Yes. And I like didn't know what that was until like I went to college and I was like, oh my gosh, I was so strategic. I've just like, I've always gravitated to it. I'm like a pretty social person in real life. And so I think it just makes sense that I am a social person on the internet too. But so when I got to college, again, I started college in 2011, Instagram had like just come out. So I downloaded Instagram like the summer before I went to college. I was a marketing degree, and I also added on journalism with an emphasis in PR. So like, I wasn't even really thinking about going into social when I kind of like declared those majors, but I knew I liked it. But there really weren't like jobs in social yet.
Yeah, it wasn't like a thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember one summer, maybe like after my sophomore year of college, I came home and told my dad, like, I think I really want to work in social. I had had a couple internships at this point. And honestly, the gig that had like really transformed my passion for social media and showed me that I liked it was I was like my social media chair or whatever for my sorority. And I grew my sorority's Instagram account to more than 10,000 followers within like a 2-year span. And we had more Instagram followers than any sorority nationwide at the time.
Nice.
Yeah. But that like just showed me, I was like I loved it. I had so many strategic ideas to grow, and I would like incentivize the members to post and tag us, and I'd reward them with like a cupcake raffle if they like posted. Like, I was really smart about it. But I remember telling my dad after maybe my sophomore year, I was like, I think I want to work in social media management. And it's so funny because like looking back, it's so cute what he said. He's like, Becca, I think that's great, but like, I think you should work to be like a VP of marketing or like a CEO. And here I am. I'm the CEO of a social media agency.
Surprise.
So I'm glad that my dad, you know, challenged me to go a little bit further with that, because like he didn't know what social media was either.
Of course.
Like, didn't even have a Instagram account till like last year. But that's kind of how I got started in it.
Let's hear about like you going from like freelancing to like building your team, because you have a pretty robust team. So let's talk about it.
Yeah. So I started freelancing about 6.5 years ago. So I was working just as a freelancer for about 1.5 years before I scaled to what is now Homemade Social. And I have a little bit of an Instagram following myself as like a person, not just a brand. And I would use that to my advantage. Like, I was writing blogs. This was in 2016, 2017, about like tips to grow your Instagram. And I was starting to build my newsletter list and post about my social media tips. But one thing that I think really helped me to grow and scale was at the time I would write a monthly blog with my income report as a freelancer, which I think showed other people who maybe had no idea what I was doing, or I don't know, you can get a lot of doubters when you say that you're self-employed. People are like, sure, yeah, like I'm sure you're making a ton of money. And then I would do these reports, and those were always my highest traffic bringing blogs to my website every month. And I wouldn't clarify if it was like pre-tax or post-tax. So I left like a little bit of gray area for like my privacy, but that really helped. And I soon just got to the point where I think I was like, I had a month where I was bringing in like $12,000 in reoccurring invoices, just me. And that was a month where I was like, oh my God, I'm starting to drop balls. I need to hire for help. I had a couple of interns at the time, and I like brought up one of them as an assistant social media manager and trained her part-time to help me. And so it kind of just like snowballed from there. Like, I was pretty cautious about scaling. Like, I had hardly even had any managerial roles before I was self-employed. So hiring was completely new to me, and let alone like managing someone and helping improve their career trajectory and like training them and nurturing their skill set. So that was all completely new to me. But I think once you find like the right person to add to your team part-time, it was great. This girl's still on my team. Her name's Dominique. She's our account manager right now. I found her as an intern, or we found each other as when she was an intern. She worked for a summer as an intern, a semester as a part-time employee, and then the next semester she went full-time with us. So the timing just worked out great for where I was at my business and how I was able to keep scaling her hours, and we were just a good fit for each other. And then that allowed me to kind of like practice that hiring and managing, and I was able to make more strategic hires as we scaled.
I love that. I love that she's still with you too. Like, what a great story.
It's just like, we get along, we vibe really well. We have very similar desires for like a work culture.
Yeah, I love that. Have you ever made any like bad team hires where you were like, ooh, or maybe shouldn't have hired that person?
Of course. I think I've done it like 3 times, maybe 2 times. I've almost lost track at this point. But there are going to be times when you're scaling and when you're hiring, when you are like desperate for someone, where you're like, I need someone on the team yesterday. And the person who has the most qualifications, you're just like, I'll make it work. Like, I'll hire them. And it doesn't always work out. Like, that's usually like when you're desperate and it's like, it's my fault. Like, I probably shouldn't have hired them from the get-go. But my biggest piece of advice is to let them go quickly. Like, if you know it's not working out, you just have to cut the cord. It's really unfortunate.
It's like a breakup.
It is.
Just got to do it, you know, rip off the Band-Aid.
I don't know if this is best practice or not, but like, our whole team is pretty close. And when I do maybe have to make that decision, I would say 99% of the time, the rest of the team knows that that person's time may not be lasting very long. And I usually fill in the rest of my team that morning, like being like, hey, I've made this decision. This is happening today. I want us to support this person and make them feel comfortable. You know, like I give them a heads up because like I've been in positions where someone just like gets fired and they leave for the day. And you're like, whoa, that was my friend.
Yeah. I don't think that's a great like work environment either. You know, that's not how you want to foster your team. Thank you for sharing. I just threw that one out there.
Yeah, hit me with the hard ones.
Want to dive even deeper into these topics and more like it? I'm talking finding high-paying clients, creating packages that sell, advanced marketing strategies, content creation, metrics and insights, portfolios, launching your business, and even how to become a social media manager. I have a full program suite of 8 self-study courses for you so that you can build and grow a profitable social media management business, have consistent income, work with dream clients, and scale without getting hit with burnout. Plus, I've done a lot of the hard work for you. You'll get templates, scripts, and so much more. Learn more about the Social Media Manager Incubator Program Suite by visiting my website. Details and links are in the show notes for you. I know you wanted to touch on this. You've been talking a lot about this over on Instagram. Let's chat about boundaries and burnout specifically as a social media manager, because this is something that really hits the industry really hard, especially I think like year 2 is where we kind of hit our limit of like, this is either make it or break it. We're either completely done and burnt out from working with horrible clients or not having a reliable team. Or like we make a big change and we're like, okay, we got to really do this. We got to change what we're doing. So let's get into it.
So my burnout phase peaked in 2020.
Oh no, that's terrible timing.
I know, but looking back, it makes sense. When did you feel like you hit yours?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I feel like I hit a burnout every year.
Oh, okay. Okay. Honestly, I relate to that because at each level, you almost have to like restructure your boundaries as you grow and scale. I totally get that. I'm actually going to pull up. I have a presentation where I have some like funny, we have a free like webinar on my tips for boundaries. And in the presentation, I screenshotted, like I went through my personal screenshots during 2020 when I was starting to feel this burnout. And unknowingly, like looking back, I was screenshotting some like dark shit.
Oh no. I love that you have a presentation on this.
I got so many inquiries on that. Like, I think it's just something that social media managers, like, it attracts a social person to the industry. Like, a lot of us are social by nature. And I think because of that, it attracts a lot of people pleasers. And it's like a 24/7 industry. So it just, I think it's just the way the industry is designed and the type of people it attracts. It's just like a perfect recipe for like no boundaries.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I feel like I kind of hit the nail on the head, but okay, let me share some screenshots with you. So I would get texts from clients, this is in 2020, that would be like, we need to change all of the ads to direct to this link ASAP. We launched with this just now. So first of all, like that client could have given me some notice, right?
Right.
And then same client, hey, Becca, can you give me a quick call? It should only take 5 minutes. And keep in mind, I was off for the day. Like it was after 5 p.m. And then these are some of the screenshots like that are getting a little bit dark. 2020 is a leap year and it leaped right into some bullshit. And then the next one, Doing social media for a living is great. I'm tethered to unethical and toxic platforms all day, and everyone I've ever met thinks they could do my job better because they have 500 Instagram followers.
Oh boy.
I know. The last one, this one was from like October 2020 when I think I hit rock bottom and I was like, this is when something has to change. And it's just because you're home all day doesn't mean that people are allowed to access your energy 24/7.
We have like a downward spiral happening.
Mic drop. Yeah, exactly. And it's so funny because like you don't really know you're in a rut sometimes until you're out of it. So when I decided to make this presentation, I was like, I wonder if I like screenshotted anything good or like, you know, anything I'd be able to share this presentation. And I found like a gold mine of stuff I had saved. I was like, wow, this is so reflective of my mindset at the time.
Yeah. And next time you're like, oh, I'm feeling kind of in a funk, just go back to your screenshots and maybe you can figure out what's happening.
Yes, you can therapeutically figure out where the issues went wrong.
That's your record.
Yeah.
It's your little journal.
So yeah, so boundaries in 2020, that was definitely the year I started to put mostly a new contract in place and a contract that supported my boundaries, enforced our office hours, allowed us 24 hours to reply to inquiries, encouraged or basically said like no same day meetings are allowed. So that was like a big switch. But then as people pleasers, you know, we would implement this new contract. And then when people still cross that boundary, it's a test again, because you have to be like, okay, am I going to let the client walk over me or am I going to enforce this boundary right now? And so then I had to hire a communication consultant to help us enforce our boundaries in like a nice way, but in a firm way that I was never used to before.
I love that you hired help for that. You were like, I'm not sure how to handle this, but it needs to be done. I need help.
Totally.
So when it comes to, let's say, and maybe you can help now. What are like some common boundary pushing things that social media managers have to deal with? And like, how would you recommend people deal with them? Aside from like having a contract in place.
Yeah, I would say there's usually like four areas where people need to focus. Their boundaries with their phone, their boundaries with their email, their boundaries with their calendar, and their boundaries with like social media in general. So email, this one I feel like people always freak out about. I don't have the Gmail app on my phone logged into my work email. And granted, during our office hours, I'm 90% of the time I'm on my laptop, but like this allows me so that like I'm not getting notifications outside of hours if people are replying to me because contractually I'm not obligated to respond. So that's a big one. And if I need to like absolutely log into Gmail or like reply to an email from my phone, I can go to like gmail.com and check in on something or see if they replied or whatever. So it's not like, you know, I'm forbidden from checking it, but it's like out of sight, out of mind. I'm not getting notifications. I'm not tempted to like check my inbox.
It makes it a little bit harder to access.
Yes. For phone and social media usage, I highly recommend social media managers download the app Opal. Have you heard of Opal?
I haven't.
It's OPAL. And it's basically a very advanced version of Apple's screen time limitations feature, but it's completely customizable. You can set a bunch of different limits and like schedules for yourself. So I have a couple I recommend. So the one that I feel like most people don't think to do is I have like a doom scroll feature. So if I'm on one app straight for like more than 15 minutes, it kicks me off and I have to take a 15 minute break.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. So that one's really nice. Just like, I don't know, for mental health, it keeps you in check. I also have daily app limits per app, daily app limits for social media in general. And then I also have like hours that I'm completely blocked from using social media during my workday and like after hours. So it allows you to snooze the feature if you need to. You can snooze up to 15 minutes at a time if I like have to log in for something. And you can make it as difficult or as easy as you want to like unlock it. But it's nice because it has a lot of like customization tools. For calendar, I always recommend social media managers have a tool like Acuity or
Calendly.
I think that's the other main one. I always recommend social media managers have one of those, but like be smart about when you have availability. So like if your office hours are 9 to 5, I usually recommend blocking off like 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. just to like bookend your day with like in the morning, I'm checking inbox, I'm preparing any tasks I need to get done and sending those out to existing clients. And then same thing at the end of the day, hopefully responses to those emails have come through and I can get back to people. But even like taking it a step farther, like I only take discovery calls on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I don't take any calls or meetings on Fridays. I usually like to do only internal meetings on Mondays. It just like allows some structure to your life. And then the last app I am a really big proponent of is OpenPhone. Have you heard of OpenPhone?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to change your life.
Yeah, you already are. Like, I'm going to go download Opal after we get done talking.
Good. OpenPhone, when I first did this boundaries webinar, I mentioned OpenPhone and we brought them so much business, they reached out to us and offered us an affiliate link.
Oh my God. Okay. You'll have to share the affiliate link with us. So I'll put it in the show notes.
Yes, please do. It is such a game-changing app. So it's $15 a month. And I think with our affiliate code, I think it gets you like 20% off or something. So it's probably like 10 bucks a month-ish. And it allows you to have a secondary phone number associated with you within an app on your phone. So you don't have to pay for a second phone or a second line. You don't have to carry around a second device all day. And that is a number I give to clients for calls or texts. And I honestly, like, we don't allow for text messages other than like emergencies or like we use it for two-factor authentication, you know, like that sort of stuff. But you can set it to automatically have a like out of office. So like if someone calls me after hours, it goes straight to voicemail. It gives them my, like our voicemail with a reminder of our policies. If someone texts me, it automatically sends them a reminder like, hey, we're out of office for the day, or like, hey, texting isn't a preferred form of communication. So it's just like unreal the boundaries that it allows you to have, because I think the messiest area is kind of like sharing your phone number with clients. So it allows you to like still be able to allow a bit more of communication and assure clients that like, hey, if there is an emergency, you can reach me, but like it is strictly for these purposes.
Yeah, it's not like your personal phone number.
Exactly.
I love that. Oh my gosh, I can't wait till you send me that link. I'm going to go say
Oh, good. And also one more thing, it integrates with Slack. So we have a phone channel in Slack. So like all texts and voicemails, which are like transcribed, get put in that channel. So my team always knows, like they can have visibility for that too. And then it has a desktop app. So like if I'm out of office, my team can just get into the desktop app and help clients that way. It's amazing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Amazing. I'll link it in the show notes for listeners so they can connect there. Oh my gosh. I also link to the webinar that you have. Well, thank you so much for coming on here. This was so valuable. I cannot wait to sign up for all of the things that we've talked about.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me on. I honestly say I get asked to be on podcasts all the time. And this was one of the few times where I've been like, oh, I follow her. I love her content. Like, I know that you know what you're doing. So I was like, yes, like immediately. I'm so excited.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm flattered.
Yeah.
So where can everyone find you?
Yes, great question. So my personal Instagram is bbooks, B-B-O-O-K-S. And our agency's Instagram handle is homemade social with an underscore at the end. So you can find us there. And then everything is linked from, you know, if you go to Homemade Social's Instagram link in bio, it'll have the webinar link as well. But I'll put that in the show notes for you.
Perfect. Perfect. And then I'll link all of your socials in the show notes as well. So it's just super easy to find you. But thank you so much for coming on here, Becca. This was amazing.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me again.
Oh my gosh. Bless her for sharing all of those goodies. I'm definitely going to be downloading those apps. And they're, again, everything is linked in the show notes for you so you can find them easy. And if you have any friends who are social media managers or marketers, share the link to this episode with them and help them out. And if you're not already following this podcast, make sure you hit the follow button or the plus button in Apple Podcasts. You can get brand new episodes delivered straight to your podcast app every Friday. Thank you so much for listening. I'll catch you next time. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Learn more about my digital template shop, online courses, and mentorship program by going to my website at sugarpunchmarketing.com. And while you're there, make sure you join my safe, supportive community created exclusively for social media managers. It's 100% free to join and packed with really amazing resources, trainings, and people. See you next time.